morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you are in the world. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the 20th edition of the Scottish Field Podcast, released on Wednesday, the 15th of September 2021. My name's Kenny Smith and I'm the web editor of Scottish Field. And over the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to bring you details of our latest edition, our annual October luxury one. And later on, we'll have a chat with Stuart Leslie, the head chef at Cook School Scotland in Kilmarnock, where I headed to do some hands-on cooking. Every month, Scottish Field brings you the best of all things Scottish: heritage, interiors, antiques, gardens, motoring, wildlife, whisky, country news, and fantastic interviews with many famous Scots names. This month's issue is rather special, as I mentioned, it's our luxury one. But to tell you more about it, please allow me to introduce my co-host this week, Scottish Field's very own chief sub, a fantastic writer, a general ray of sunshine, and a brilliant friend, is Rosie Morton.
Oh, you've introduced me beautifully, Kenny. Hello, everybody, and it's a pleasure to be back speaking with you again, Kenny.
Oh, it's always good to see you, and so I'm not all on my lonesome in the podcast. So. Always good to have company.
And we get to see each other as well. We're on Zoom again this time, but hopefully in person again very soon.
Yes, and we'll get our next edition hopefully recorded in person. So yes, all is good. But it's been a rather busy month, hasn't it? Producing 292 pages of magazine.
It has. It's been a bumper edition, as always, in October, and it's been great fun to put together actually, hasn't it?
It has. Obviously, you've been more hands-on than I have been. I've been getting those news pages all sorted, but there's a heck of a lot in there this issue. And for those who don't know, do you want to maybe tell the listeners what the luxury edition epitomises this year, what the theme is?
Well, luxury, all things luxury. But yes, for those who haven't picked up a copy before, this is our fifth edition of our luxury October issue. But basically, it's all the sparkly, shiny, lovely things that are going on around Scotland. And we've really picked some truly spectacular people to include this month.
Rather fascinating feature about some objects of desire, where we learn that diamonds are forever and that they don't take between 1 and 3 billion years to develop.
Yeah. And apparently you absolutely can't tell a single difference between a man-made diamond and a real one, which of course might cause a few issues in the future. Who knows? I suspect that regulations might have to come into play there. But it's incredible, the pictures. You literally, there's not a single difference. Well, to an untrained eye anyway, I'm sure.
Yes, it's quite amazing that they can take so long to make in nature, but the man-made versions can be done in about a month.
Yeah, obviously, I'm sure there's some very clever scientific things going on behind the scenes that I don't know about. But yes, I think Holly reveals all in her article. But it's not just diamonds. We've also got 6 of the best creative talents from around the country, talented artisans that Morag and I put together, which was really, really fun. Morag spoke with a guy called Roddy McDonald, for example, who makes these beautiful wooden baths. And I believe he's up north in the Black Isle. I had the pleasure of speaking with Alison Kinnaird. She's a glass engraver, and there's 4 others that we spoke with, and really interesting stories just to hear about their backgrounds as well.
Yes, something that grabs my attention, just as always, we have fantastic photography in the magazine. And it was the feature you mentioned the last time we spoke on the podcast about the photographer Beetle Campbell and some of his amazing shots. And it's where I think that the quote here is, "The beauty and romance of Scotland has never been in doubt." And with these pictures, they're just stunning.
Yeah. And he's only in his 20s, Beetle, and he's done so, so well. He's quite remarkable, really. And you'd think that he'd been at this photography and filmmaking for much, much longer than he really has. And he's worked with Schoffel and Holland & Holland, these incredible luxurious brands and travel companies. He's been published in BBC Earth and ESPN, so definitely worth a look at his beautiful, beautiful work. And he's very passionate about conservation as well, which is always something that we enjoy hearing about at Scottish Field.
Absolutely. Something else that caught my eye, you won't be surprised to know, it's the food, as usual. And the rather fantastic feature when Morag Bookland spoke with Steve Mitchell, who owns a buffalo herd in Fife and now produces Scotland's first ever buffalo mozzarella.
That's right. So that was great fun. And the pictures are really funny. There's these big buffaloes herded up behind the guy who obviously looks after them. And yeah, I think he worked with Gordon Ramsay, well, on part of the project anyway. And Gordon Ramsay was instrumental in it. But did you use buffalo mozzarella at all in your cook school experience?
I didn't. But tell me what I did use shortly. Something I'm just when we're sticking with food. There was that fantastic interview that our editor, Richard Bath, has done with celebrated Michelin star Spanish chef Miguel Angel Mayor, who has opened the Rioja restaurant in Glasgow. Now, I recently dined there and, oh my word, this is definitely a Michelin star chef. His food is incredible. Small portions, but my God, you certainly know you've got class in front of you when you've got something so simple. But it's so beautifully presented and it's made so complex. So we had something incredible. We had, it was a cantaloupe melon and it had meat inside it, which was apparently, that's something that they do in some of the poorer parts of the world, but they haven't got cooking pans. So they'll take a melon and they'll put the meat inside it and you get a beautiful infusion when it all comes together. It was something I would never have thought of doing.
Interesting. Well, I suppose it's like the melon and parma ham thing. That's for when you're doing posh canapés, but
oh, yes.
Probably a much, much higher standard than anything that I could throw together in my kitchen. Also, we had the mystery diner. He went to two interesting places this month, didn't he? He went, it was a sort of town and country take on it that he did, one out in Ayrshire, Trump Turnberry, which a lot of people I'm sure will have heard of already. If they've not visited it, they might be interested to see what the mystery diner had to say about that. He also went to the Palmerston in Edinburgh. So yeah, two for one there.
Yes, it's quite interesting to see what the diner finds, and yes, they certainly know their stuff. Of course, you should mention that there's plenty of adverts as well, showcasing some fantastic products and produce produced from all over Scotland, whether it's food and drink, clothing, jewellery, just wonderful luxury items, many of which you wouldn't suspect you would get from a Scottish company.
Yeah, I tell you what, actually, I'm not a big whiskey person, but there's lots of really interesting whiskey reading in this magazine. I tried a whiskey at the weekend, and it was actually, very fortunately, in the Balmoral's lovely new whiskey bar, the Balmoral Hotel, and it was Bunahabin, I think I've said that correctly, which is quite a mild sort of starter amateur whiskey. So it wasn't too peaty and it wasn't too smoky. And I really enjoyed it. Are you into whiskies?
Not really. Because I've got such a sweet tooth, I do quite like Magnum, the Scottish version of Irish cream. And it is fabulous. And always get a, it's like a, it comes in a milk churn. It looks like a mini milk churn. It's wonderful, really well presented. And I usually get one of those at Christmas. It's sweeter than the leading Irish cream brand. But yeah. Magnum is no free adverts for that company here. We're promoting Scottish produce. It's fabulous. I would hugely recommend it if you ever get the chance to try it.
Does it come with a free Santa hat on top of it? It should do.
I think it did at Christmas a couple of years ago. I was sent one and it did have a wee Christmas hat. I was actually introduced to it by the actor Sean Biggerstaff, who many people will know as playing Oliver Wood in the Harry Potter film series. And that's, we were in Glasgow in a bar and I mentioned to him that I liked a particular Irish cream. And he said, you want to try this? This is better. And he was absolutely right. So if I ever see Magnum in a bar, then I will be having a bit of that. Thank you very much. But no, whiskey-wise, I'm not really a big fan. I went to an event in Glasgow a couple of years ago, the Smokehead Feast, which was an Isla whiskey. Very smoky, as you would suspect with a name like that. And it went really well with ginger beer. That was one of the things that they had on the menu that night. And I was amazed that it worked. And if I was having a whiskey, I would definitely have it with a wee bit of ginger beer. If it's a smoked or peated variety, I should say.
I wonder what our whiskey expert Blair Bowman would have to say about that.
Well, I mentioned it to Blair and he said that sounds perfectly reasonable to him. He says, if you find a way that you like your whiskey and you enjoy it, then that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what other people think. If you find a way that you like your whiskey, then go for it and enjoy it. Just drink responsibly.
Yes, absolutely. We promote responsible drinking always at Scottishville. But Blair Bowman in the October luxury issue, he's selected three decadent drams on page 133, which are just extravagant to another level. And yeah, it's great fun to read about them, just to know what's on the market. It's really incredible. Just across the globe, it's whiskey's exploded, hasn't it? And it's very, very out in the Far East as well, and all sorts of collector's items. So if you've got a few spare £200,000, there's one you can have a go at that one. But
absolutely. Thankfully, Blair's thankfully working for those of us with a more realistic budget, as he's talking about the Glenglassaugh 50-year-old, which is only £5,500. There's the Last Drop 50-year-old signature blended Scotch whiskey for only £3,250. Yes, then he concludes with Mr. George, a 1953 67-year-old Glen Grant, which is only £5,000. So far more affordable than the 200,000 odd ones.
Well, yes. And like we've said, they're not all like that. There are plenty other things to read about, but it's fascinating reading about the extravagant ones.
It is. It's just luxury. This is a magazine that I know that I would buy to read if I wasn't working on Scottish Fields. There's just so much in there. It's just a really damn good read this month, and I would hugely recommend that everybody goes out and buys a copy. And it's only £4.75.
Yeah, it's the same price as it always is, but it's twice the content. So hopefully it's one that our readers will enjoy. There's also plenty of staycation inspiration. There's all sorts of really, really fantastic places. There's a place that I came across called the Lodge on Loch Goyle, and it has this treehouse which looks absolutely stunning. It's like a fairy tale castle in the sky.
I've seen pictures of that. It looks incredible. Quite popular as a wedding venue before lockdown.
I believe so, yeah. And, you know, you can have all sorts of dinners and exclusive use parties there as well. So it looks really magical. My kind of place.
Yes, absolutely. My kind of place too. That's the fact. It's just some incredible finds in there, places to stay. So yes, long may we continue with the luxury issue. Roll on next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, and even the cover, though we say so ourselves, the cover is actually, it was a picture that was taken at the Fife Arms Hotel up in Braemar, which is, I don't know if you've been up yet to visit it since it was redone, but it's so beautiful. There's something to look at in every single nook and cranny of that place. You know, I think it's 14,000 pieces of artwork, and it's extraordinary. So the cover features the, I think it's a Robert Burns fireplace.
It is. I just spotted Rabbi there.
Yes. So that in itself is something that I love to look at.
It's quite incredible. And if anybody wants to order a copy, you can get it online at www.scottishfield.co.uk/subscriptions.
Indeed. Hooray. And you can also check out all of our additional content on the website put together by Mr. Kenny Smith himself at www.scottishfield.co.uk. Check out our Facebook and Twitter pages as well, which are the handles for Kenny.
They are on Twitter. We're www.twitter.com/scottishfield. Our Facebook page is www.facebook.com/scottishfield. But Rosie, we've got Instagram as well, haven't we?
We do. And you'll find our handle at Scottish Field Mag. So M-A-G at the end.
That's the one.
So Kenny, I hear you've been cooking up a storm in the kitchen. Tell me more about this cook school experience that you went to recently.
Well, it was fantastic. That's the very quick version. During lockdown, I've discovered how much I love being in the kitchen and I love cooking. And I've spent a fair bit of time sort of, you know, working in recipes from cookbooks and such like. You know, I've never done anything as brave as making some things from scratch. I've never made bread from scratch. I've never made a dough or a pastry or anything like that. And I didn't do that, I must admit, at cook school, but was invited along to go and join in a wee half-day session. And it was really good fun, as there were myself and a few other media-type people just to come along and have a go and see what it was all about. And there we met Stuart Leslie, who's the head chef at Cook School Scotland, and started off. We got there nice and early, and he'd baked some scones fresh that morning. Rosie, I have never had as good a scone in my life.
Was it the size of your head?
It was huge. It could fit in the palm of my hand, and I've got quite big hands, but it was, oh, it was divine. And it was so good. And then sadly, a couple of people couldn't actually make it. So there was a couple of scones going spare. So I thankfully was able to tuck into one of the spare ones. I'm not ashamed to say that I love scones. And later on, there was the one that was still spare. I was given that to take home. So yay.
Oh, even better.
It was good. I would have posted it to you, but by the time it got there in the post, it had probably turned into a rock cake. So we don't want to do that. So yes, I took one for the team there and I had that. So we got the chance to cook from scratch. We made sushi and donburi, which I'd had, obviously had both at a leading Japanese restaurant.
Just going to say, I think I maybe have too.
And particularly the donburi, I've always liked, but never had a clue on how to make it. So we used two different types of rice, one for the donburi and the other one for the sushi, and sort of rolled them ourselves and, you know, put things in. So we sliced up our carrots, we sliced up cucumber, did some peppers as well, and put it in with some bits of salmon cooked in previously and just dropped it in. And oh my God, it was amazing when it was finally ready, and rolled it up in tinfoil. We made four rolls of those. So my daughter was quite pleased. Katie quite likes sushi, so yay. But the donburi was just incredible. We actually got to eat that there and then as soon as we'd finished it. So it was a case of going through and preparing all the things for it, the spices and chopping up. And it was just so much fun. I also learned that my kitchen knives are rubbish because these ones can cut my whole hand off. Whereas at home, mine are maybe not quite that sharp.
That sounds great. I saw you sent me one picture, and I think it must have been of the sushi, which looked incredible. I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
I was very, very surprised that I could do that.
I thought the picture that you'd sent had been done by the professionals, so it would have passed if you put it in front.
You're too kind. I'm the very unprofessional, but hang on a sec. I'm just going to hold this up. You can't see this at home, listeners, but I'm just sending Rosie a picture of the donburi that was the finished version.
Oh, it's just as well I've just had my lunch, because that would have been torture for me to look at. That looks amazing.
I learned how to shell a prawn properly and to do that, which I'd never done before. I've always thought it would just been snap a bit off, snap the other end off, and then just pull the shell off. But pulling it, you know, showing how to remove the intestinal tract, showing how to do that as well. So I had a great time.
That sounds great. That's it's interesting you should talk about shelling a prawn, because at the moment, just before I came on the phone with you, I was reading about a company, I think I'm going to pronounce this correctly, called Quantech. And it's a partly Gaelic name, but anyway, they use shellfish shells that have been discarded and make it into an alternative for cling film plastic.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Who would have thought?
Working towards getting rid of single-use plastics, which is, I think, extraordinary. So the things you can do with a prawn shell, there you go.
That's amazing. It would be something ironic if it's used to wrap up prawn sandwiches in the end, but reuniting them at one end and one end and out the other almost. So.
Oh, well, great. So where can people find out more about that?
Well, why don't we hear directly from the man who can tell you what they do get up to? Why don't we hear from Stuart Leslie down at the Cook School Scotland in Kilmarnock?
Very exciting. Yes, looking forward to it.
My name's Stuart Leslie. I'm the head chef at the Cook School Scotland. Run classes from as simple as making a scone to as intricate as making croissants and pain au chocolat.
Fantastic. So could you explain a wee bit about the history of Cook School?
So the Cook School has been open for 12 years?
13 years.
13, I'm reliably informed there. 13 years, we'll say 12 because 13 is unlucky, isn't it? So 12 to 13 years, and it's basically went from strength to strength. Up until lockdown, we were having guests in, lunch and dinner, doing classes, big kids parties as well, big kids parties down the stairs. We had a wee separate team to run that, and then obviously lockdown hit and we started doing Cook School at Home, which was a box of raw ingredients went out, and then we tuned into me and I did Zoom, the class via Zoom. Very, very popular again, and basically kind of kept us going throughout the lockdown to enable us to open up again, all ready to go.
So what was your background before Cook School?
So chef for 20 years, worked Rosetti kitchens, quite a bit of pastry, worked in London for a few years, my previous job to here was Costly and Costly, so I worked as a head chef for Bill Costly for around 8 years. But yeah, and came here, and I've loved it ever since. So 5 years I've been here now.
So what do your duties entail?
So duties are stopping people eating more than one scone, Kenny, as you've been eating more than one scone. So scone police. organising the classes from start to finish. So, you know, writing the menus, writing the recipe cards that go along with that, buying in the ingredients, which for me has to be as close to home as possible. You can just look at, I know you can't see because we're recording this, but beautiful Scottish strawberries, a lovely aroma as you walk into the kitchen of all that veg and that sitting there. So that's for tonight and tomorrow. Organising the setup for the class and obviously the stages that we're doing the class in to enable us to be able to do it in the time scale provided, and then getting the guys organised to clean down and get ready for the next one.
Yeah, so how big a team do you have here?
So now we've got five people, but you know, pre-lockdown we were 12 to 14 people, and it was so we had 14 people, but we'll get back to that, no problem at all.
Yeah. And what we did today, was that pretty much a typical example?
That was just a half day class. So normally, so tomorrow we've got, for example, a full day home baking class, which we're making gâteau fraisier from start to finish. So that's your sponges, we're making marzipan, we're going to pipes with chocolate, we're making creme patisserie to go in that, and some marinated strawberries, and we're going to make a dark chocolate and cherry tart as well. So that's start to finish everything. So that takes 4 or 5 hours to do, so a bit more work. This is supposed to be designed for present company. It's clearly the younger generation of people coming in and doing things.
I'd imagine that with lockdown, people have been spending more time in the house and cooking. So have you found that perhaps with the reopening, there's a bit more interest in people just coming out and doing a bit more?
Absolutely. And their skill level is obviously a bit higher because they've had a lot of time in their hands, haven't they? So, you know, I mean, the last kind of couple of weeks where there's doing bits and pieces, you've noticed that, and people coming in, definitely. And people know a lot more what they're talking about. So they know a sourdough from a ciabatta, and, you know, it's refreshing to see that throughout the country. I think that's one of the benefits of lockdown. People really started cooking. Now that was through force of not being able to buy certain things from various supermarkets and having to do it themselves, but I think it's brilliant, really, really good.
I mean, I think that what we did this morning and afternoon was quite an interesting insight into, you know, doing something that I would normally go to Wagamama and would buy, and now thought, actually, I could save myself a fair bit of cash.
And it's better, isn't it?
I know, the flavour's amazing. Not there's anything wrong with Wagamama, being able to just, there's also that satisfaction. Do you find that people do, you can see that glow in them? Some of them might come in a wee bit more
apprehensive at the beginning. You see people coming in, their heads down and stuff like that. And that's, you know, a real important part of my job to bring it on and make sure they leave with a nice full belly or a big box of cakes.
Love to eat one scone. Yeah, I mean, I think also the fact that everybody had a good laugh as well, because I think some people knew each other beforehand and some of us didn't, and we're just having a chat. And it was good the fact there was the banter and everybody getting involved.
Has to be. I mean, the social aspect of it, and I found that out really in the Coot School at home. It was people who were coming on and just wanting to talk to other adults, you know, whether they'd been stuck in the house with two young children or whatever, you know. And definitely, and especially coming here, you really, really notice it. And I think that actually helps to bring people out of their shell, because if you have a wee bit of banter and a little bit of back and forth, you know, it helps people and it builds up their confidence and then go out to the station. That, you know, you don't take yourself too seriously. It's an amateur cook school. It's not a chef school, you know. And as long as you guys are happy with what you are making, then brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I think it's really satisfying.
You mentioned that you do a few menus and types of things, so what other ones do you do, is apart from, obviously, we had the donburi and the sushi today?
Yep, so, you know, pretty much from the half days are American all the way through to Vietnamese, Asian sort of style food. We do half day pasta, where you maybe knock up a quick wee carbonara and something along, a wee bit of gnocchi or something on those lines, something simple, to, you know, full day home baking breads, where we make bread start to finish, 4 or 5 different loaves. Like I said before, croissants, pain au chocolat, pasta days, where we make a batch of pasta, and then with that we then make ravioli, tortellini, linguinis. Meat and poultry days, which again is getting in whole chicken and boning them out, and, you know, various, it's close, like we were explaining before, it's close to the animal itself before it goes to the butcher or the fishmonger. We bring in and we make sure that you guys learn how to fillet a fish, for example, and do all that, shucking scallops, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never
been shown how to do prawns properly before. And I'd always just sort of like guessing of like snap and then just pull it apart and then just hope that you get the but it's actually just to be shown how to do it. Lovely and simple. And at the end you're after the first two sort of got a wee rhythm going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's good. Quite, and again, so you get that wee bit of confidence. And
absolutely. But then that progresses onto something else. So, you know, that prawn is today. I mean, maybe next week you're going to get some langoustines, and then, you know, it's, they're from Scotland, that's putting money back into the economy. And it's just a domino effect for me. I think that's next thing you're getting fish in, and it just continues from there. It's like a, like what you're saying at lockdown, it's a wee spark and it just starts, ignites, and then next thing you know, you've got a fire.
Do you get people coming from all over Scotland?
Yeah, we do actually. Yep. We actually had a couple last week, and at one of the demo and dines that travelled down from Inverness, and they were driving halfway back up home and staying after. And so they kind of do it maybe in 2 days a journey. Dumfries, we had people from Northern England as well. With the Cook School at Home, that was all over the UK. But yeah. Obviously there's, you know, Newton Mearns is close by, the kind of south side of Glasgow and stuff. So there's a lot of people maybe come from there down, because it's 40 minutes down the motorway, isn't it? And it's good to learn how to be up on.
Absolutely. So where can people find out more info? Do you have the website address off the top of your head?
Info at Cook School, and that's the email address, and it's just Cook School Scotland as a website where you can just then go on and book all your classes. Social media, we've got Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn as well. All Cook School Scotland.
Absolutely. And as the hashtag says, hashtag...
Cook for fun.
Exactly. Excellent. I certainly did. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kenny. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure cooking with you.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it, Rosie? Who would have thought that I would actually get praise for what I was able to do and having a laugh at the same time?
Ah, you're selling yourself short. I think you're a secret chef in disguise.
It's the hat, isn't it? I really should take it off sometime.
Yeah, that and the apron. A penny.
I actually got an apron to keep.
Oh, did you? Oh, very good.
Which I actually drove home wearing it. So I get in the house and like, hey, look at me, I'm the chef.
Perfect. I am looking forward. I know it's the C word, the Christmas word. I can't believe I'm going to say it so soon, but we do have Christmas pennies. And in a way, strangely, I'm looking forward to getting them out. Now that it's gone slightly autumnal, I am that person who gets very excited. Far too soon, so I'm going to be quiet now.
Not at all. Christmas is good. I love Christmas. That's still about 100 odd days away from as we speak. So yeah. let's just enjoy autumn just now. The leaves are still on the trees and they're turning golden brown. And I do love the autumn, the leaves, the colours.
Autumn leaves, and I kind of blend into the surroundings as well, which is a bonus.
It's not a curse, it's a blessing.
Oh, too kind.
Well, Rosie, thank you so much for your time and having a wee giggle today on the Scottish Field podcast. And hopefully everybody's enjoyed listening at home as well.
I hope so. It's always so nice to speak to you. It breaks up the day beautifully.
We'll be back with another episode of the podcast very soon. So be here or be somewhere else. Until next time, I've been Kenny Smith.
And I've been Rosie Morton. Bye.
Bye-bye.